plan their crimes meticulously, while others kill on impulse.
It's Jason Voorhees.
Fred Krueger, Mother. Fred Krueger!
It is time, Michael.
When there is no more room in hell.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
The dead.
What's your favorite scary movie?
We'll walk the earth.
An eternal child. I am the eater of them.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The boogeyman is real.
Here's Johnny.
The blackest eyes.
Every
day. The devil's eyes.
Don't fall asleep.
It's got a death curse.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Death Curse Radio. I am your host, Nathan Barker, and joining me tonight is Kenton Mullins.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And Ben DiAlley.
Hey, how's it going?
Now for tonight's episode. Last week, we brought to you episode number one of We Love the 80s, of course, starting with 1980. And for those of you that listened to that show, I mentioned that we would probably have a regular episode or two, whatever, in between these special segments for We Love the 80s. Well, fuck that. We're just going to do them whenever the hell we feel like it until we reach 1989. So, with that being said, on to tonight's episode, which is Volume 2 of We Love the 80s, 1981. So we will pretty much just continue on with the same style or format, whatever you want to call it, as we did with Volume 1, and just sort of highlight basically what we thought were some of the better films for that particular year. And of course, along with some honorable mention stuff in there too. So I think to kick this show off, there's two words for 1981. Bruce Campbell. I mean, the guy needs no introduction. Horror icon. The first film of Evil Dead. I mean, really, Bruce Campbell.
I agree 100%. And this is my number one for this year. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there. But yeah, Bruce Campbell owns 1981 as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Evil Dead, obviously, huge, huge following, huge cult following. Probably one of the more underrated, I guess, franchises. We could call it a franchise. There's multiple films. And I think that Evil Dead probably never gets the love that it should. Now, granted, it has a ton of fucking fans. I get that. But whenever we're talking about the juggernauts, Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers, Leatherface, it's like Ash just kind of gets not tossed off to the side, but kind of forgotten about. But he's also a totally different style of character and doesn't really fit in, I guess, with the others being the masked monster slashers, whatever. Totally different character. So, I mean, I get it, but I just think that Evil Dead is probably the most underappreciated or often not talked about horror franchise. I mean, I don't know. I know, Ben, you're an Ash fan. I mean, what do you think as far as that's concerned? Because normally we don't hear near enough about him as I think that we should.
Yeah, absolutely. Evil Dead, totally underrated, and you know, 1981, it was the first film that came out. It spawned the franchise. We've had video games and there's been comic books, Ash vs. Evil Dead TV show. So totally underrated and overlooked. I agree with that. I think, you know, I mean, Ash isn't, he's not the bad guy. He's our hero, you know, totally badass hero. But we go and we see him with his chainsaw killing the zombies. You know, he's not the one in the mask. So that might be a little bit different there.
It is, as far as the horror genre is concerned, because it is basically rooting for the slashers, rooting for the Jasons, the Freddies, obviously. And then we have Ash trying to save the world from the Necronomicon. So it is a totally different ballgame. But with the amount of figures, the shirts and the collectibles and all that, I would have to say that Evil Dead would be, if you had a top five in the horror genre, that Evil Dead, I mean, me personally, it rivals Texas Chainsaw. That's just my thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead. Well, I'm just talking about the franchise.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah.
Itself. Like I said, I think it can be deemed as a franchise. We have multiple movies. So I think with Ash and everything that we see there, of course, Army of Darkness is a different monster than compared to the first two. But I think that depending on who you talk to at a convention or just a fan in general, that Ash obviously rivals Leatherface. In my opinion, he does, because I'm not a super fan of all the Texas Chainsaw films. Obviously, there's my favorites of those, but there's a couple in there that I don't necessarily ever have to watch again, and it really won't bother me. So, yeah, I mean, he would definitely be in the top four, I think, for any horror fan. I don't know if you guys were to rank him in order where he would stand in a top five, but I think three or four would be the answer on most people. I think number four or five easily would be most people's answers.
Yeah, I think if you're going if you're going to a horror convention or, you know, any type of event like that, you're probably seeing more Ash and Evil Dead shirts than Leatherface and Chainsaw. I agree with you, Nate.
Yeah, and I think more so in the last couple of years, just because Ash versus Evil Dead was so fucking popular. I mean, just an amazing show. I absolutely loved it. Fucking pissed off that they had to cancel it, but such is show business. I get it. But wow, I mean, just such a breath of fresh air to the horror genre in general. I mean, they just did an amazing job. And of course, Ash and his one-liners and all that good shit, the FX work, just totally fucking badass. I'm definitely going to miss that we're not going to get to see more of that. But Texas Chainsaw, obviously, 3D, your boy Adam Marcus. I mean, some people didn't really care for that. I liked the film myself, but 2 and 3 don't really do it for me. Now, this isn't really about, Texas Chainsaw, but like I said, if 2 and 3 don't have near the fans that obviously Part 1 does for Leatherface. And then, of course, 2003, great film. Absolutely loved it. So we might only have a few films where we're going to see Ash in action. And of course, the Evil Dead later on didn't have Ash in it at all, as we all know, which, okay, fine. But then we get the TV series. So we've got three great films in a TV series, and then the Leatherface fans will probably want to lynch me, but there's really only a few good Texas Chainsaw movies. So they're kind of in the same boat, in my opinion, as to how much substance both of those two franchises have.
I disagree. I mean, I really love all of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. There are ones that I like more than others, but I can't think of one that isn't worth rewatching again. Even the most recent one, Leatherface, I believe it was called. I love them all, but back to Evil Dead, they kind of did something that was relatively new at the time, which was introduce comedy elements into a horror movie. And that wasn't a super common thing then. We didn't have movies then like Shaun of the Dead or The Frighteners or any of, you know, the horror comedies, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. And Evil Dead 1 really wasn't as heavy-handed with that kind of stuff, but, you know, it spawned Evil Dead 2, which was super fucking heavy-handed with that stuff. So being a fan of horror comedies, I know you said you would probably put them in your top four, Nate, but it's probably in my top three because I just absolutely love the Ash character. There's not another character like him, in my opinion. And I just love how open-armed they accepted, you know, the cheesiness how heavy the gore was unnecessarily. They just embraced it all. And yeah. I love everything about that franchise.
Yeah, I love Bruce Campbell. And like I said, I guess when I was talking about TCM, I don't dislike Part 2 or 3, but those aren't my go-to movies, whereas obviously Part 1 is classic. And then, of course, like I said, I love the 2003 film. That's another great one. And like I said, the following two, I like 3D. I mean, a little bit different take on it, but I guess what I'm getting at is just my personal opinion. When you look at the Evil Dead and then you look at Texas Chainsaw, the reason that I think people could kind of maybe go back and forth with, and this is just assuming that your top three characters for the majority of horror fans are going to be Jason, Freddy, and Michael Myers. I think we can all agree with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So who's going to be in your fourth and fifth spot? And I think for the average or majority of the fans, it's going to be obviously Ash and Leatherface. So I think that they could easily kind of go back and forth between that fourth and fifth spot, just because depending on how you feel about some of the Texas Chainsaw films. Because if there's a couple of them that don't really do it for you, with Ash having less films, but then of course having more screen time because of the TV show, it kind of makes up for the difference, I guess, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, it's he's definitely right up there, but yeah, Bruce Campbell fucking owned 1981. I mean, no doubt about that. So, anyways, unless you guys have something to add, we will move on to the next one.
No, I think we covered it pretty well. Evil Dead's the shit, and there aren't a lot of people that would disagree with that. So,
yeah, I mean, the Deadites, I mean, it's just a great fucking franchise in general. I mean, like I said in the beginning, Bruce Campbell, enough said. And anybody that has not seen those films in a while, definitely now's the time to go back and revisit them. And if you haven't seen Ash versus Evil Dead, I don't know what the fuck you've been doing with your life, because you've been missing out. That's for damn sure.
Dude, that scene where that scene where he's in the morgue and the intestines pull him up and the dick's in his face.
Yeah.
That's like the funniest shit I've seen in the past 10 years. I swear to God.
Yeah. There's just so much good stuff. I mean, really, it's just there's no real downtime. Really, on any, a couple of the episodes were not quite as good as the majority, but there's not really any downtime. It pretty much just hits you right in the face right from the first episode all
right
the way
through.
Right
with a big pierced dick.
Right, yeah, right, right, right in the face with a dick. Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I know you guys are fans of that too. I think Ben, you just met Dana pretty recently up at Flashback. I'm sure that was cool.
Oh, dude, she was. I've met a lot of celebrities at the conventions, and she was one of the funnest, great to the fans. She gave us a free picture and everything. Exactly like the character in the show. I mean, it was perfect almost. I actually met Bruce Campbell at Whorehound Weekend last weekend or so, and that was actually absolutely amazing also. So yeah, Evil Dead, great. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. Great effects. They had the stop motion gore, the claymation at the end. Blood running down the screen. It was everything that you kind of could have asked for in a horror film, I guess, back then, because you really didn't know what you were getting. But I will say, real quick, with the Chainsaw Massacre and Evil Dead, one thing that both of those original films did very well is the first time you ever saw it when it was over and you walked out of the theater or, you know, turned your television off, whatever, I think they both left you with, what the hell did I just watch? You know, you just felt dirty after watching the original Chainsaw. And I feel like you kind of just felt dirty and you needed to take a shower after watching the original Evil Dead. So really Absolutely. Good, bloody, good stuff there, man.
Well, like Kenton said, the blood and shit is over the top, but people just accept it and it is what it is. I love it. I think it's fucking awesome. So I was expecting the TV show to be like that. And of course, you got to meet Dana. I've seen her two or three times over the years at some conventions. I have not gotten anything signed by her or had any conversations. I've seen her in passing or whatever at the after parties and stuff too. And for whatever reason, just didn't talk to her, which I'll probably definitely rectify that the next time I see her. And even like with Bruce, I didn't even like it at Horror Hound. I never even fucking saw Bruce. I don't even know where the hell he was even at. But of course, I wasn't there long enough to really make some full laps. But yeah,
he had
I mean,
his own room.
Yeah, probably. Man. Because he's Bruce so fucking Campbell. You kidding me? Why would he not have his own room? He's Bruce fucking Campbell.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Him in his fancy suits, and he does take some awesome photo ops too. But the one thing that I do have to bitch about, I guess, is I'm an autograph collector as well as you guys are too. What in the fuck is going on with his signature? It looks like a fucking Z. It's like, what? It's just like a little blip. It's just a little Z, and then he writes Ash. And yeah, a friend of mine, he's a super big Bruce Campbell fan. I think Bruce's would be his number one choice. And he collects anything and everything Evil Dead. And he's got a ton of stuff signed by Bruce. And I'm always like, really? I mean, it looks like a Z. Like, really? That's the easiest way, with a little loop on it. And then he writes Ash. So when you have a full-size 27x40 poster and Bruce signs it, you almost have to get the a magnifying glass out to see the signature. He has probably one of the worst signatures I've ever seen as far as autograph collecting.
I think he's sick of talking about it, man. I think he's over Evil Dead, and this is just me speculating because I got a signature at Whorehound. a few weeks ago as well, and mine is exactly the way that you're describing it. But I feel like if you had got him to sign an 8x10 from Burn Notice, he would have probably taken his time and wrote it out. I just think, and I don't blame the guy. I mean, he's been doing this shit for fucking, I'm 30, I was born in 80, so 36 years he's been dealing with Evil Dead and Ash stuff. And I think he's just over it. And
he might be, but I've seen earlier signatures of his, and they don't look like a Z with a little loopy thing on it. But look at Robert Englund. Robert Englund will write out a goddamn dissertation of inscriptions on his signatures, and he takes the time, and I really appreciate that, because like I said, as a collector, there's nothing worse than just having some little bullshit little Z or something on there, and Malcolm McDowell just looks like a bunch of zigzags, and it's like, come on. I mean,
well, Malcolm McDowell don't give a fuck.
No, but I mean, when you have this display piece, and if you're a major collector and you've got these full-size posters, and like I have a lot of full-size posters, cast signed posters and shit. So the one thing that you want is for the signatures to be nice and bold. I mean, if you're taking up that amount of wall space in your house or your collectibles area, rooms, whatever you have, man caves, etc., the last thing you want is to see some ridiculous signature that you can't even tell what it is. And it's the main person from the film. So, but to each their own. That's just my, every time I see a Bruce Campbell signature, I'm like, oh my God. And I'll be honest, I don't even own a Bruce Campbell signature just for that reason. Cause it's like, what, I don't even, it's like, whatever. I mean, I'm surprised that people aren't forging it left and right, because look how ridiculous it is. And it would be believable if it was forged, right? I mean, you're saying there's
really no way to prove it wrong.
Right. Exactly. Because there's nothing to it. So yeah.
Actually shaking a silver Sharpie as we speak.
Right. Yeah, I mean, hey, oh, whoops, sorry about that. Beth Curse Radio now offering Bruce Campbell autographs. No.
Check us out on our eBay store.
Yeah, check us out on eBay. Yeah, authentic Bruce Campbell autographs. Kent has a direct connection.
No so, set price.
No, yeah, no reserve. No reserve. So, but yeah, anyways, moving on. Like I said, no particular order, but Halloween 2. For 1981 was definitely one of the bigger hitters, undisputable. And the one thing that I love about Halloween 2 is that they literally portray it, well, not portray, it is basically like the events just continued on. The night just continued from where we seen in the first one. And obviously, Laurie's in the hospital, so it's a direct continuation. Not that other sequels to some of these major horror films are not that they're not a direct sequel, but this one is like the same day just continues. And they just really hit the nail on the head, I think, with it. And of course the Myers character and everything is very, very comparable. There compared to some other films, Friday the 13th being one of them, the way that Jason's continuously changing. Now, obviously with Dick Warlock and Nick Castle, and people will comment on the shape of the mask, but I mean, they've got different shaped heads and all that shit. But what I just really liked was that it literally just continued on from that same night. And of course it's classic Michael Myers shit, but just in a different location. And for me, I just love the film. I love H1 and H2. That is absolutely, for me, that's Halloween. Not that I dislike or hate any of the other films, but for me, the substance of Halloween is H1 and H2. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but to me, that's just one of the best sequels in the horror genre period.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, there isn't a Halloween after H2. It ends at H2 for me. And I kind of like Season of the Witch, but I don't really count that as a Michael Myers Halloween movie. But yeah, H1 and H2, and there was never another Halloween movie made after that as far as Kent is concerned.
Well, and a lot of people will say that. I have a couple good friends, and they say that. They say that they're done with fucking Halloween after 2, and obviously don't want anything to do with Rob Zombie. And I know you're not a zombie lover by any means, but that's for another discussion. But I don't necessarily hate 4, 5, and 6, but it's just kind of like, meh, it's just not the same. It's not a classic. It's not that classic Halloween vibe, because you start getting into other shit. And I think that 1 and 2 are the classic things that people want to latch on to. And they have that same kind of feel to them. And there's other part 2s that absolutely jive well with the original 2, but Halloween 2 is definitely right up there as far as having a true and direct sequel. And well, you guys were there at Horror Hound the other day. I totally fucking forgot that Lance Guest was there. Totally forgot. So, of course, I've never caught him at any conventions. And so, of course, I didn't get to get him on my poster, which I'm fucking mad about, but whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are, Ben. I don't remember you talking about Lance Guest or anything like that. I don't think you and I have really had any Halloween 2 conversations outside of maybe Rob Zombie's H2. So, but I know that you probably feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. Halloween 2 is, man, I put it up there for me. I mean, it's one of my absolute favorite horror films. I actually had the VHS when I was a kid, so, you know, I watched it all the time. I did actually get a chance to meet Lance at Horror Hound. I went and grabbed him real fast on Sunday, the last day. I couldn't leave there without getting him, because Halloween 2 is, you know, one of my favorites and such a great film. Perfect sequel. It really does. It feels, to me at least, like the exact same movie. They're, you know, cut the credits out of part one and you can go right into part two perfectly. It definitely stepped up the kills a lot more. I think Michael was he's a little bit more vicious. Obviously, we're in the 80s now. The slasher is, you know, it's starting, so he had to step his game up. But gore, you know, a little bit more blood in part two than we saw in part one. And I think Dick Warlock was great as the Shape. I know there's heated debates about Nick Castle and all that. And, you know, that again goes back to Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, everybody loves Gunnar Hansen and nobody else can, you know, even compare. So that might be a little bit, you know, everybody compares to the original. Nick Castle, of course, epic, you know, you can't get better than that. But I think Dick Warlock, to me, is one of the top Michael Myers. And I absolutely love Halloween 2.
Yeah, I do, too. It's right up there for me as well. But one thing I want to mention about H2, and that is we have a different director. So there's going to be some things that are going to be a little bit different. And of course, when you have somebody that's not shaped the same as the previous person, there's going to be some differences in there. And not everybody can mimic other people's movements. But I think Dick did an awesome job. I like his portrayal of the character. And his name's Dick Warlock, for crying out loud. I mean, what it's like, what else you need to say? My name's Dick Warlock. I mean, how cool is that? So, no, I just... There's a lot of funny memes and stuff out there with Dick Warlock and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
That's a porn name for sure.
Right. So, yeah, super nice guy. I've caught up with him a couple times at various shows over the years, and he loves the fans and loves talking about stunts and Halloween stuff and all that good shit. But, yeah, I mean, you basically – I forget what you said exactly, Ben, but, yeah, you take the credits out of Halloween 1 and you have – just a continuation of that movie. And even though that we have a different director, I think it still kind of has that same feel to it, which a lot of times they don't accomplish that because obviously people see things differently. But to me, it has the same sort of vibe, which I think is definitely unique for a direct follow-up like that. And that's one of the things that I love about H2. So, yeah, I mean, Dick Warlock can have his haters, but I think he did an excellent job. And a little bit more blood, as you said. Yeah, definitely. And, of course, how can you not like the hot tub scene? I mean, come on, that's classic H2 right there. But, yeah, there's good stuff in there with the scalpel and the I love the ending. I mean, the burn. I mean, at the time, that was an insane stunt. That burn was absolutely crazy. And there's even talks about that on some of the documentaries and stuff. But how could you not love that burn scene? I mean, to me, that's just badass shit.
Yeah, the ending was great. Absolutely. When right when Michael kind of like crashes through the door, you know, he gets the nurse up a little bit. I mean, right there, you know that it's not Halloween 1 anymore. Like this is a little bit more pissed off Michael. You know, he's not crushing a closet door. You know, now he's going through the actual glass door there at the hospital. So I love the ending. I don't know. I remember the first time I saw it, you know, I mean, I was younger, but like, damn, you know, Dr. Loomis, you know, took his own life, or so we thought, took his own life to take out Michael. That was, you know, pretty crazy right there. I don't know, a little shock ending, I guess.
Yeah, the door scene, that's some other good stuff. There's just a lot of good stuff with the movie in general. And I like, I guess maybe that's probably more of an 80s thing, but you know, the doctor's out been drinking and he's going to come into the hospital and it's like, it's no big deal or whatever, but that shit was different back then. And, of course, I mean, I can't comment on it because I wasn't old enough to have been in the hospital to know if that's kind of how it would have been back in the day, but I'm sure it was, or they wouldn't have kind of portrayed it like that. But yeah, I love everything about Age 2. And like I said, it's definitely one of my favorite horror sequels or part twos. It's definitely there. And you don't get that with all of them. Obviously Evil Dead 2 is classic. Nightmare 2 to me was classic. Friday 2 is classic, but Halloween 2 is kind of in a little bit different boat. And for that is because, like you said earlier, Ben, it literally seems like the movie just continued, and that's what does it for me. So, Kent, you got anything else about H2?
Well, you know, I've said in previous episodes, I'm not the biggest Halloween fan. I'm more of a Michael Myers fan than I am a Halloween fan. But, no, I don't really have anything else. That's H1 and H2 are my Halloween flicks, if I were going to watch one, and nothing else exists after that. And I am a fan of Dick Warlock, and I've met him on several occasions. Super awesome dude. And I also don't understand some of the hate that he kind of gets. But yeah, I think you guys hit the nail on the head there.
Well, Myers fans, and no disrespect to the Myers fans, because I am one, but some of the diehards, man, they're fucking serious. They are super serious.
Dude, don't get me started. Oh, just my like, God.
Just like what I'm getting sick and fucking tired of hearing about the fucking TOTS masks. I mean, shut the fuck up already. Jesus. I mean, seriously, like all day long, like the last 2 days, it's like, seriously. I mean, how many people need to go videotape themselves walking into Party City? You know what I mean? Like,
how many times are we going to see this fucking mask?
Exactly. I mean, I'm just, oh my God, I'm just sick and tired of it already. It makes me not even want to have one because I'm already fucking sick and tired of seeing it. I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. I get that it's a big deal. I get it. And it does look great for a mass produced mask. I get it. It's off the mask.
It does. It absolutely does.
Yeah. I mean, with a little bit of hair work and stuff, but while we're on the subject of Halloween, I think we need to vent a little bit and talk about how sick and tired we are of this mask. I mean, Jesus, I feel
it's a mass produced mask.
Well,
that's what I don't understand.
It's not going to stop because we have another month before the film's out, and we're going to have to hear about it every fucking day until then and forever on after that. It's like that mask is just not going to go away. You know what I mean? Does that make sense to you guys?
Absolutely. I'm just going to start sleeping people for like that 30-day period that you can do, anybody that posts one, because I'm so fucking sick of seeing it. And I get it. It's a decent looking mask, and with a little bit of work from an indie artist, it can be an awesome looking mask. But at the end of the day, it's still a mass produced mask. There's 500 million of them out there. And yeah, it might be rare right now, but in general, it's not rare because in a warehouse somewhere, there's 50 fucking million of them. So, in December or January, it's going to be one of the most common Myers masks out there. And I don't understand why people are going fucking bananas over this thing. I don't get it, man.
I don't either.
I'm so sick of seeing it.
Well, but the thing that irks me is all these people that are videotaping and making these posts and stuff, you would think that they would be getting tired of seeing the exact same thing that Joe Bob or John Doe or whoever the fuck just did 5 minutes earlier. It's just the same repetitive shit of, well, I went to three Party Cities and didn't get one, or, you know, here's a video of me walking into the store. Like, how many times, like, at what point would you be scrolling through social media and be like, yeah, I don't want to be one of those guys? Like, I'm excited.
And also, they're like, I think if I do this or this, it'll make it more screen accurate. Like, you haven't even fucking seen the movie yet, dude.
Right. But hang on, though. But the screen, one of the screen used masks has been on display numerous times.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I took a picture of it myself. Yeah, that's a good point. Fair enough.
You took a picture of it? Oh, you did? Oh, imagine that.
Yeah, they had it at Horror Hound.
No, I'm just kind of giving you shit for taking a picture.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, there's plenty of pictures of it. It's been on display numerous times. I'm just wondering when people are going to like be scrolling through and be like, yeah, I just watched somebody else do that same type of post for 150 times in a row. Let me go. I don't know if people have gotten enough of it yet. I mean, seriously, come on. So, okay, Ben, do you want to rant about that a little bit? Because I know you got to be sick and tired of that shit, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't get on Facebook or any social media without seeing it. I'm not like a huge mass, you know, collector or anything like that. I think it looks good. Really, what digs me about it is that the film isn't even out yet. So I feel like, hey, that's good promotion, I guess, for the film. I'm glad to see it, you know, getting that attention and everything. But the fucking film isn't even out yet. And that's my biggest problem. Like, some of the action figures and things like that, they, I know there's one action figure that came out and it has like the jack-o'-lantern like head. And that was, you know, I know that was leaked in one of the pictures or whatever, but it just, I don't know. That ruins the fucking film for me personally. Like we haven't seen these kills yet. You know? Yeah. We watch the trailer and we look at the pictures and stuff, but I don't want to see all of that. I'd rather be kind of surprised by it than to purchase a mask, you know, two months before the movie even comes out. I don't remember though. Was it like this when Rob Zombie, you know, and his whole mask and everything, was that like a big craze back then?
Well, back then social media wasn't as big as it is now, because you got to think 2007, 2009. Yeah. Facebook was around back then, but it was in its beginning stages. So not everybody, matter of fact, I wasn't even on fucking Facebook in 2007. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. And, right.
So, I mean, that was a whole different monster, whereas now you've got, I don't know how many platforms and all these groups and all these websites, and you just fucking can't get away from it. You literally cannot get away from seeing it.
Sick of seeing this thing.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. You just couldn't get away from seeing it. Everywhere that you looked, you seen something about that. You know what I mean? Like it's such a big deal, and rightfully so. I get it. It's the 40th anniversary, but I'm just wondering, it's like a broken record. It's the same posts. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's the same. Everybody's posting pictures. Well, I got mine today. Well, when did you order yours? If you ordered by such and such a date, they're supposed to ship at this time and blah, blah, blah.
Same conversation.
Like, same conversation over 400 and over fucking times.
And if you know, Zephro has addressed this in a huge, and you know, I've had disagreements with him in the past, but whatever, the man has addressed this in one post and he answered everybody's questions, so you shouldn't have any more fucking questions. He was very clear and concise.
He was
with his answers, so he's answered your questions. You need to stop bothering him with it. And honestly, I'm so sick of seeing this fucking mask that a devious, like, little part of me, just for the laughs, wants this movie to come out and be complete fucking garbage.
yeah, absolutely. And of course, we talked about another little devious thing, but we're not going to tell you what that is. You might just have to tune in and see what that might be later, or watch, I should say. It's kind of a secret. We don't know about that yet. So, Ben, you don't know what we're talking about, but Kenton, him and I have a little possible plan.
Oh, it's going to be fucking great.
Oh, and we're going to get lynched in the town square for it. But it's oh my God, it's just like, change the record. I mean, come on.
But yeah, man, all these people with the mat, like, just Zephro has answered your questions. Just go to his, he made one big long post. He addressed any question that you have very clearly, very concisely. You shouldn't have any more questions, so we can stop talking about it. Like, it's
not just that, though. It's the fact of everybody saying, well, I went to my Party City and bought one today, or, you know what I mean? It's just the continuous of, it's not just the questions about when something's going to ship or a pre-order or whatever. It's just, yeah, we all know that there's thousands of them out there, and I can drive over to Party City right now and buy one and just, and buy it right off the shelf, more than likely. I'm not saying that my local one would have one, but there's a good possibility if I went there right now, they probably would.
If you're not in a big city, there's a good chance that you're gonna get one.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if you have multiples. I see people like, oh, I spent 4 hours driving today and I'm on my third or fourth Party City, and it's like, get a fucking life. Like, seriously.
Did you see that post where that fucking dude bought like 25 of them? And
well, there's the one on eBay. So last night I'm looking on eBay, and there's some guy that's got like a fucking 100 of them on there or whatever. And I think he's charging like $100 or something plus shipping. And it's like, do you really need one that fast? this mass-produced item that you just can't wait a few more weeks, maybe? I mean, come on. What, you're going to pay $100 plus shipping or whatever for the $60 mask? I mean, I'm a Michael Myers fan. Trust me. I get that the collectibles are a big deal, but it's not that big of a deal. I think just a little bit of patience, save yourself $40 or $50. I mean, it's not a limited item, so I just don't get it.
That dude, so, that dude has made himself a meme in the Halloween community.
Oh, like, yeah.
Overnight.
Oh, well, yeah, and I mean, and rightfully so. And it's whatever. Like I said, we can get lynched for it. I don't really care. When you've had enough of something, you've had enough. I think it looks great. I'm going to own one myself. But for right now, I'm just really fucking sick and tired of seeing the same posts about it left and right.
And I'll probably get one too, man. I'll probably get one. I'll rework it a little bit. But after I'm done with it, I'm probably going to put it in the closet just so I don't have to look at the fucking thing.
Right, exactly. All right, enough about that. Enough blood pressure rising over that bullshit. So anyways, moving on. And the next notable, I guess, what we came to a conclusion for 1981, and that would be Friday the 13th. Part 2.
I'm going to give it to you straight about it.
Opened up a whole new world for Friday fans because obviously we saw the boy in the lake in part 1. Props to Ari Lehman out there, First Jason Official at First Jason Official. If you want to check him out on Facebook, firstjason.com. Check out the band. They're recording some new shit. Yeah, so he had the task of the boy in the lake. Then, of course, we see Steve Dash with the sack head. Some people like it. Some people don't. They don't like the hillbilly and the bibs and all the other shit, but you know what? I like part 2. It grew on me later on, though, because I love the hockey mask so much. But as I got older, I just really got more of an appreciation for part 2. So, yeah, I mean, you guys are both Friday fans. I know you guys love the film. Ben and I went to the part 2 reunion. I think there was, what, 8 of them there, Ben? Was that, that was last year? Yeah, that was last year at Mask Fest, so a year ago. But, yeah, I mean, you guys you know, chime in with whatever you want to throw out there. It is what it is.
Well, I absolutely love Friday 13th part 2. I agree with you. When I was younger, you know, you kind of look over it because of the hockey mask. Now that I'm older, you appreciate it a lot more. I think it's maybe not as good of a sequel as Halloween 2 is to Halloween 1, but it's definitely a damn good sequel. It's in a way kind of, I've heard people say like a retelling kind of part 1, but now it's, you know, it's Jason. So definitely love part 2. Amy Steele as the final girl, Jenny. I mean, she's one of the top final girls. So right there, I don't think you could ask for better. Supporting cast, you know, Paul, he was cool, man. He was a cool counselor. It's like you wanted to hang out with him if you were at camp, you know. So I love the cast, all the campers, very likable. And the death scenes were maybe not as good as the original, obviously, you know, no Tom Savini, but still pretty damn good, I would say, for the time period. And Friday 13th part 2, it's up there for me and on my Friday list.
Well, I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason. And that's the Packanack. The Packanack's fucking badass. I mean, come on. I mean, the setting's great. So classic campfire scene. Last year at Horror Hound, I had an 8x10, a nice glossy 8x10 of the campfire scene, and of course had John sign it. I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason, and it's just a badass piece in my collection. Every time I walk by it, I'm like, oh Jesus, you know, just a beautiful piece. So yeah, it's the classic campiness, and it's a great follow-up. It's not H2 classic material, but it's a great second installment. And of course that starts adult Jason. And I remember when I was younger, I just remember not really thinking that the sack head was really like scary. And I don't know if maybe that was because of like the bibs and the flannel shirt and stuff that it's just kind of like, eh. And then of course when we see Jason unmasked and he has the hillbilly look to him and stuff, but I don't know at what point that I just had the light bulb click and it's like, this is actually deserves a lot more credit than what I thought as a youngster about it. And now I love part 2. There's just so much good shit about it. And other than whenever I see the pictures or the watching the movie and you see Jason's shack and you're just like, oh geez. So I mean, there's some stuff that you just kind of shake your head at. Not that I like hate it or whatever, but just like with any other film, you'd think that they kind of would have done something a little bit different with it. And Kent, you're a Friday fan, obviously. I think more so with the later films, but what are your thoughts as a follow-up to part one?
Like it, don't love it. I think it was a necessary step to get where we got. You know, it got us to, it led us to part three and four and five and six, which I love all those movies. And even eight. But it's watchable. It's not my favorite by any stretch of the imagination. But I like the look. I like the Sackhead look. And he was also one of my favorite versions to play as on the video game. So, like it, don't love it.
And I can totally understand that. And Jason became a different monster in part three and four. Obviously much more vicious. But Steve Dash, his portrayal of Jason gave it that realistic that this dude could get his ass whooped. Like they could fuck this dude up. And of course the classic end scene with Amy Steele, that's good shit. And it showed you that Jason could be defeated. I mean, he's not as tough as what they think that he is. If you watch some of the fight scenes and stuff like that to what Jason evolved in later on, just this machine, just this non-stop killing machine that we all love. So it was definitely necessary as a transitional film. That's for damn sure. When you're going to continue something on to what would later be, of course, 12 films. But yeah, I mean, it's not H2 status as far as on the totem pole of part twos, but I do enjoy the film. I enjoy it, like I said, a lot more now that I'm older. And met Steve Dash several times, Amy Steele numerous times. Steve's great with the fans. Warrington made an appearance at Horror Hound Indianapolis. I hadn't had a chance to meet him up until a few months ago. Got him on the part two cast sign poster. And Ben, you were there, of course, too. Got to add him to yours as well, which was awesome. And I like the film. So anyways, moving forward, we're basically just going to kind of leave it as the top three for now. Not that there's not a bunch of other good shit for 81, but for me personally, not a huge year for the horror genre. I do love those three films, but as far as honorable mention, yeah, there's definitely a few that we can definitely give a shout out to. And I think one of those that deserves one, of course, My Bloody Valentine. And for me, I think I got to throw out there The Burning, because it really developed a cult following later. And of course, Tom Savini FX. So you guys go ahead and throw some plugs in for your honorable mentions. I'll let you start, Kent.
Well, you know, My Bloody Valentine is important to me because it led to the remake, and something about the remake is, you know, me and my wife, we have this thing where we get one free pass to cheat if it's a celebrity, and her celebrity is probably like, I don't know, George Clooney or something, maybe Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt, but mine is Jensen Ackles. So... So Jensen is the killer. I'm a huge Supernatural fan, so I like the remake a lot more, but My Bloody Valentine deserves a nod, you know. Also, you had The Prowler, which a lot of people love. Not a big fan of it, but a lot of people love it. And The Howling, The Burning. So yeah, there's quite a few honorable mentions there, I think.
Yeah, the FX and The Howling is right up there. Ben had mentioned that off the air, and I'm not a huge fan of that film just because that's not really my thing. But yeah, the FX is badass. But yeah, those especially My Bloody Valentine, I do like the later film. I like the remake later. I like that better. And but yeah, I mean, it's definitely watchable. And if we didn't have that one, we wouldn't have got the remake, like you said. And but yeah, I mean, I like I said, opinions are going to vary, but I just don't feel like 81 was really that strong of a year. Now, granted, we call them the 80s slashers and the 80s films, obviously, for a reason. We had to start somewhere. So I just really think that the first three that we discussed pretty much just hands down take the cake for 1981. The others, yeah, you can mention those, but they're nowhere in the league of the first three.
Yeah, absolutely. 1981 was definitely slashers, but I agree with you. A lot of kind of throwaway slashers, no disrespect to them. You guys said The Prowler, My Bloody Valentine, and The Burning. I'd also like to mention maybe Graduation Day and Happy Birthday to Me. Again, just regular slashers, but I think notable maybe just for their titles. I feel like, you know, we kind of saw it in 1980 and now again in 81. It was kind of like the holiday thing was starting. You know, we got My Bloody Valentine. Oh, let's do a birthday. And then, oh, what's next? You know, they had prom night in 80. So now, oh, here's Graduation Day. So they really, like, you know, the holidays and the event thing started happening with the slasher movies. You said that The Howling, of course, starring Dee Wallace. I love The Howling. I'm a big fan of that. And American Werewolf in London, great effects there. So two really important werewolf movies. I don't know if there was – I honestly don't know if there's any notable werewolf movies besides The Howling and American Werewolf in London. So 1981 gave us some werewolves and a lot of slashers. Of course, unfortunately, none of these slashers – really spawned sequels, not like Friday, you know, 2 and Halloween 2 that we just talked about. So a lot of slashers, but nothing too important.
I'm glad you brought it up because I forgot. That's what I wanted to mention too, along with Howling, was American Werewolf. Great FX in that film too. Like I said, not really my thing, but awesome FX. And with the 80 slashers basically just starting essentially, then I think that what ends up happening, especially in 81, for example, is the slasher films, they're obviously starting to kind of, some of them are kind of copying off the others, but it's starting to get diluted versions of the less popular films. And you start to see a lot of kind of similar concepts. And some of the films, you're just kind of like, yeah, you know, it's only 1981, but it's like, does that make sense? It's starting to get diluted at that point. And then, of course, later on in the 80s, we'll get to some of the more stuff that kind of really, really drives home the 80s slashers, because you got to think we haven't even had Nightmare on Elm Street yet or some of the other films that we're going to talk about later. So, yeah, but for me, I think for all of us, the first three that we mentioned, those are definitely king of 81. No doubt about that. Anything else you guys would like to throw out there before we wrap this up?
Hey, have either of you ever seen Scanners?
Yes.
I have never seen it, but I remember being a little lad in the video store back in the days of VHS, and that cover scared the shit out of me, and I always wanted to rent it, but I never did, and I always wondered if I missed out on that one.
Well, you know what? Why don't you just watch that movie, and maybe we'll talk about that one later.
Okay, well, that's fair enough.
So, Ben, you got anything else?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. 1981 wasn't really too important besides the three that we mentioned. So definitely I would say Evil Dead was the good standout one for the year, that being an original film. Halloween 2, Friday 2, you know, those were sequels, but I think we got it all, man.
Well, all right. That wraps up another episode of Death Curse Radio. So please rate and review wherever the hell you listen to the show at, and check us out on Facebook at Death Curse Radio or our website, deathcurseradio.com. And a reminder that show shirts are available at slasher-tees.com. And we appreciate all of our listeners' support. If you want to support the show and represent, then definitely send in a picture to the Facebook page of you wearing your shirt, and we will post it on the page and give you a big shout out. Once again, slasher-tees.com if you're interested in that. And hit up James Amaral, the owner of Slasher Tees, for custom orders. He does great work and lots of new stuff in the works. So definitely hit him up if you got any ideas. Until next time.
Evil lurks in the mind of a bad man.
This is the end, friend.
Suffering will be legendary, even in hell.
What the prime time, bitch?
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Candyman.
I am eternal.
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
That is better.
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Some things have strange idea entertainment.